Oh my goodness, this nigga's still talking.
Hi. Hi. I've gathered you all here before me because there's a major, major situation going on. All right. Now, I know this show is usually for fun and games. However, there's been a lot of things going on that we need to talk about. So I brought the council, as well as some testimonies, so we can talk about the travesties that have been going on in this community. Okay? Now, the first speaker that I'm going to bring up to the floor, Tom. Come here, Tom.
Hi guys, my name's Tom, and I was hurt by the Celtics versus the Hawks series. You know, that was my first time placing a bet this year, and I was just really looking forward to like an easy series for the Celtics. I saw last year Miami did them good, and although the Hawks beat Miami in the play-in tournament, I had no idea what would be in store for me. You see, all I needed was for that game five to be a win for the Celtics. And what they do, they let Trae Young come in for, oh, I can't.
It's okay, Tom. You don't have to. All right. It's okay. Go and sit down, Tom. Next up, I'd like to bring up Jermaine. Now, Jermaine, this one happened to him recently. All right. Come here, Jermaine.
Hi, my name is Jermaine. And I placed a bet on the Nuggets versus Lakers, game three. Now, for me, I thought it shit was gonna be sweet, you feel me? I wasn't like Tom.
Hey, fuck you, Jermaine!
Oh, hey, calm down, Tom. All right, we got other people in line to go. Continue, Jermaine. Yeah, as I was saying, I didn't bet on the game to have a winner. I only bet on the things that should have happened in that game. All right? But the refs, oh no, they were in on that shit. Fuck them niggas, man. Me and my homies all hate the refs.
Stay on topic, Jermaine. Stay on topic.
My fault. So what happened was, look, I had Nikola Jokic to score 20 points. Did it. AD, 20. Did it. LeBron, 20. Did it. Jamal Murray, 15. Did it. Austin Reeves, 15. Did it. Michael Porter Jr., 15. Did or 10. Did it. Rui Hachimura, 10. Did it. Michael Porter Jr., 2 threes. Austin Reeves, 1 3. LeBron James, 6 assists. Nikola Jokic, 6 plus assists. Austin Reeves, 2 plus assists. Michael Porter Jr., 4 rebounds. And Anthony Davis, 8 rebounds. All those hit. The two that I was not expecting to not hit for the life of me. On my mama, I never knew. This shit could hurt so bad. Nikola Jokic, 8 rebounds, and Aaron Gordon, 4 fucking, Aaron Gordon, 4 rebounds. 4 rebounds. Let's see, Nuggets, like, Nah, can you bring up the Nuggets Lakers game 3? All right. I have to know. How many minutes did Aaron Gordon play? I don't even care if he's in fire trouble. All right.
The stats on the screen say Aaron Gordon played a total of 32 minutes. Nikola Jokic, 38 minutes.
And you motherfuckers telling me he couldn't have gotten it.
I'm out. Thank you, Jermaine.
and we have many more hurt by the NBA playoffs this year. All right. But nobody hurt more than Laker fans. Welcome to the Just Talking Podcast. How are you? Yeah, nice intro, right? I'm a clip it. If anything, like this is live now, obviously. And I'll try and change up the voices of Tom and Jermaine. There was many hurt by the NBA playoffs this year, all right? You might be eligible for legal compensation. All right. Contact the 1-800 I need help. I think he's got to get off the lines, bro. It's not working. It's a setup. This is what they do to keep the black people down in my community. I promise you. I promise you. It's disgusting. It is a sickness. But how's your playoff view and experience been? I feel as though we're at like a place where, because I don't want to review the playoffs as a whole after the finals. And I guess, all right, to be fair, we'll talk about the games first. We'll talk about a little bit of other things. And then we'll get to it. All right. Notice how the two people who I talked about were the Celtics and the Nuggets and Lakers series. So technically, Nuggets was really what I was going with. But even Jimmy Butler this game, then he only dropped 12 points. So I'm kind of glad I forgot to place a bet. Right? No, I didn't. I lost. But it was with bonus money. Did Malcolm Brogdon not play yesterday? My fault. They said that man scored 0 points. Thought I saw him on the floor. Okay, so he was 0 for 6, 0 for 3. We'll talk about the Celtics later. All right. I don't want to talk about them right now. Right now. All right. I know Laker fans. Y'all niggas wanted a parade in your city. All right. As an honorary Nuggets fan, since I predicted them going to the finals, all right, I'm rooting for them in the West. All right. All right. As an honorary Nuggets fan, I'm going to give this to Denver. All right. And y'all niggas just going to have to take it, man.
Power. Hey. Yeah. Top. It's a parade inside my city. And it's shaking, giving me more county product of the feed. Flag green to cut. My wife, I cut up like Sharonda. Yeah, I'm in this, bitch. You want me dead? Now, bitch, I'm loaded, feeling myself. Right now, I'm not myself. I'm tongue up, got that on the hand. Got it right by my belt. Them niggas plan on popping him. They know that he don't like them. This is a story all about how pistol told him, kid, a young boy grew up in the now. Whole life at war, he got some money, then he moved to Utah. But still ain't stopped from top the mountain. He still been knocking shit out, bitch. Still with.
Nigga moved to Utah and became this. You do know, to an extent, you could argue that, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the point was him to obviously not forget what he was, but to learn about the issues that come from living in the community versus being able to go to, I don't know, obviously, the specifics. He could have been in the slums in Utah. I don't know. I don't know a game like that of Utah, to be fair. But it's pretty weird, huh? It's pretty weird. But who knows? I don't know a game. All right, maybe I don't know a game. But it's kind of disgusting, man. Let's talk about the Nuggets versus Lakers game 3. Now, Nuggets versus Lakers game 3 was actually pretty interesting because it was actually the fact that in the beginning of the game, Michael Porter Jr. and Nikola Jokic had a lot of foul trouble, and it was a typical issue for the Nuggets team is that when Nikola Jokic is not on the floor, they're usually losing those minutes. But Jamal Murray carried them heavily within that. Like, he came out the gates just shooting, lighting up the floor, and it was reminiscent, arguably, of like the bubble time. Honestly, I feel like, to an extent, his entire playoff run has been reminiscent of his bubble time. And although I haven't, like, because it's weird, because you don't think that Jamal Murray is better than D-Book. There was an argument of Jamal Murray versus Donovan Mitchell at an extent, but now that it was Donovan Mitchell versus D-Book more, you know, it's funny. I guess, like, in that category of guards, there was just never, like, a real consistency, was there? That's, like, the shooting guard thing. It was, like, all of them were around the same level after you got that, like, past the first few, depending on, like, I feel as though most people count Paul George as a shooting guard at this point. He's a long one. Luka, if you count him as a point guard, technically not a shooting guard. But you could just tell Denver was also willing to make the extra passes in the beginning, like usual. So there's nothing a change too much with their game plan. The Lakers were just not able to get their stops. It felt like they were making decent rotations, but in just certain aspects, like getting beat down the floor, but the Nuggets are just a very smooth transition team. LeBron, I don't think he made any threes in this game, which, honestly, I wasn't expecting him to. I feel as, like, you can kind of even see him limping, I felt like, even in, like, as early as, like, the second quarter, certain, like, in certain strides and steps. It's weird. It's like, what did you want Anthony Davis to become, in a sense? Because what is the next step in Anthony? Is it getting his mid-range and his three-point shot back? Because I guess, you know, arguably I think it was that. It's that to an extent, maybe getting a, what is it called? Not a three-point, like, because I don't think he lost his athleticism, because you can clearly see it in defense, but maybe just having a better motor in general or being able to keep up. Because although, like, I do think Stephen A. brings up dumb, like unimportant stats sometimes. Like, I remember he brought up, and it was like on Twitter, people didn't understand what he was literally saying versus how they wanted to perceive it. It was like what it was is that LeBron, it was like some stupid LeBron, because even I know it was like the dumbest thing to point out. I think it was it in the Warriors series or something? It was like LeBron James, when he's gotten to game 7 situations and blown a lead in them, which has only happened 3 times, 2 of the 3 times he's lost. Now, there's obviously context behind those game 7s that he lost, such as his team obviously not even being well equipped for them, but it was just such a dumb point. But then everybody was all like, actually, LeBron has been in this many game 7s and he's only lost this much. And I'm like, no, that's not what he said. All right, now y'all niggas are being disingenuous. And it's like, it's so annoying to have to defend a stupid take I don't believe, just because, like, niggas aren't even doing proper context for it. because it's like, I'm not even defending it. I'm like, look, if you're going to argue it, at least say the right thing. And I don't do it all the time, but I do it sometimes where I'm like, man, maybe that's just like, I don't even agree with his point, his premise, or what he's like, even the usage of that stat. Because it's a complete pointless stat. You know, there's like, there's a joke by Trevor Noah where it was like, I might butcher it a little bit, where it's like, Americans know all this stuff about sports and whatnot. They know how fast somebody threw a ball. They know how many times somebody has done a kickflip into a fucking jujitsu roll, and then hit a three, and how accurate they've been every time they've done it. Like, they know all this stuff. But then when it comes to, like, when you listen to all the stock and the bankers, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, it go up and down, up and down. You know money. Money's not even real. Dog, I had a fucking senator or some shit recently talking about, like, crypto bros. And look, I'm not even in that world or something, nothing like that. But that nigga was all like, these crypto bros, they're just making money out of nothing, all right? Now, some may argue that we make money out of nothing. But who cares? We're the United States government. I'm like, yo, do you realize this is why niggas don't be trusting y'all niggas? What? Y'all were printing mad money during COVID, and niggas only got 2 stimulus checks, all right? That's crazy. Now back to the Lakers. I just don't know. To be honest with you, I didn't expect this series to end this early. I did. I think I predicted like 6. I think I said I could see Denver doing 5 more than I could see the Lakers winning. I think I said something to that line. Maybe it wasn't as extreme as 5, but I would be definitely surprised the Lakers don't win a game with this roster. There's no way you can tell me that with this roster that they should be this much of a better team. It's just, they gotta, like, this is not a team where you can get yourself into a hole win and you can just be like, oh yeah, my good defense will see it out. All right? Like, this is not that team. As much as I, like, hate to fucking say it. Or not hate to, I love to fucking say it. Like, with the Grizzlies, especially when they don't have Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. When they don't have them, especially like Brandon Clark, who allows Jaren Jackson to like actually sit. Like, if Jaren Jackson's in foul trouble, Brandon Clark can somewhat play that role pretty well. And if Steven Adams is getting played off the floor like he was in that Timberwolves series, then you can see that Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. is still a great duo to have on the front court because they're both long. Jaren Jackson Jr. can still stretch the floor. So it was kind of nasty in that respect, especially like, and I've been saying this all year since the trade deadline, that the Lakers got a stimulus package, because to this day, I do not understand how you give up Russ in a first round pick. Was it even Russ in a first round? Let me see. Russ. So Westbrook trade. Let's look at the actual full trade. February 9th, 2023. 3-team deal, 9-player deal. The Lakers give up Russell Westbrook and a 2024 second round pick and a 2027 first round pick. All right. They receive D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. Utah receives Russell Westbrook, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and Damian Jones. Utah is tanking. They really cared about they cared more about that first round pick more than anything, because by then, that's like 4 years from now. 4 years from now, I would argue LeBron would be retired. Anthony Davis. How old is Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis at 34. I don't know how affected that would be if you guys even still have him. I'm pretty sure his contract is going to end soon. So, you Laker fans are going crazy. But that 2027, like, y'all gave it up. I don't know. D'Lo wasn't extended. Malik Beasley. How much time does Malik Beasley still have on his deal? I don't know. And then there's Jared Vanderbilt, who could arguably make an all-defensive team any year. Last year with the Wolves, I don't know. Did he make it? All-defensive team. 2022-2023, no Jared Vanderbilt. 2021-2022, no Jared Vanderbilt. And I feel like last year is when he really came onto the scene. All right, you know what? If I look on this list, in the 2021-2022 season, is there anybody who I would have taken off that list within the forward slot for Jared Vanderbilt? And Matisse Thybulle and Robert Williams? In the second team? Maybe not. La first team, Jaren Jackson Jr., Giannis? Nah, probably not either. This year, I might have put Jared Vanderbilt over Derek White. You got to keep in mind, he was one of the reasons. Like, besides Walker Kessler, who also didn't make it, it was them two really holding down the Utah defense, making them, like, so presentable. And not to say Lowry Marketing didn't play good defense, but you could tell, like, Lowry Marketing could focus more on scoring because he wasn't that, like, he didn't have to play those, like, oh, yeah, be the paint slash rim defender as, like, the big man, as the main big man, or really running off the screens and going being the primary on-ball defender for a lot of the people that they had to guard, especially wings in that respect. But let me see. I don't know, man. What do you think the Lakers would have to do? Because I feel like in this series, my question was, once the Lakers start putting somebody else on Jokic, whether it's Rui, whether it's Vanderbilt, once the Lakers start having to do that, what do the Nuggets have as a counter? They had Jamal Murray as a counter. They had other people that are willing to, that can step up as the counter. And what I was saying, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast. When I was watching game one with my roommate, when we were talking, I was saying, what you're going to do is that you're going to use double screens, or you're going to put Jeff Green in instead of Aaron Gordon, so you have somebody that's going to make their three-pointer. And in this game, in game three, the closing minutes, they had Jeff Green in there to make his three-pointers. They had, in those closing, in game two, the ending one, what got Michael Porter Jr. open for his shot was a double screen using him and Jokic. And then afterwards, after Murray was getting shaded heavily for him because he had made like just two in a row straight and they didn't want him to be too hot, Jokic literally, you could see him handing it to Michael Porter Jr. Like, it was like, yeah, dog, hit your shot. This is you. And it's that's the stuff that I really like to see. So in that respect, I thought things were really good. They were also running Jokic a lot more off, like, screen, like, more actions for him to, like, actually get the ball going to the rim, or he's just going quicker whenever they would do that. So he would make his move, and at that point, you either have to immediately come, so there's no, like, getting ready, there's no shading. So he's basically broken free from that double team, and that other defender ends up being more in the no man's land, and Jokic can kind of do other things. I felt like they could also, like, I don't know if I'm trying to remember if they actually had a lot of possessions like this, but kind of making sure that they have some of their stronger shooters there come to the corners, and then having Aaron Gordon screen for them. So that way, there's a little bit more of a dynamic thing that comes for, since Aaron Gordon is going to be around the paint issue and could make issues for Jokic anyways
in that department.
As a whole, we still smoking liquor pack. All right. I love it here, man. Honestly, I love it here. Because Laker fans go crazy. Like, it's kind of dumb. I remember, not dumb, but Laker fans are ridiculous, bro. And this is the thing. Right now, there's two types of Laker fans. There's LeBron fans, and then there's Laker fans. And those Laker fans are Kobe loyalists. During the freaking series with the Warriors, I was watching it with some other friends. They're Laker fans. And they were all like, why is LeBron selling for a three? Why is he shooting here? What is he doing? Why didn't he just drive the ball? They sound like Skip Bayless, bruh. It sounded like I was there with two Skip Baylesses. LeBron James is the best driver of the ball, but he just settles for three, and he's not very good at it. Kobe would never, like, them niggas are starting to bring up Kobe, and God bless his heart, nigga. Let that man sleep. Like, damn, bruh. Like, this is not even the era where you still throwing, like, paper in the trash can and still saying Kobe like that. Nobody says, like, nobody does stuff like that, honestly, anymore. I don't hear people be like, Curry. I don't hear none of that. LeBron. You never really heard LeBron. Like, you got to be a shooter for that one. Mike, MJ, Jordan. I don't know. I feel like all of those were more like just athletic moves. It was Jordan-esque, or just like nigga doing a mid-range. Jimmy Butler is Jordan-esque. He just hit the mid-range. Jimmy Butler is a little bit more meticulous with the way he does it. And you know what? What time is it? How long have I been talking? How long have y'all been letting me get away from the narratives, from the things that really matter? I'm going to talk about the Celtics real quick. Just real quick, all right? Because not too much on the Celtics, man. Like, look, I ain't even smoked the Lakers pack that much, all right? Chill out. Chill off me. All right? Not too much on the Celtics, bro. Not too much. Whoa, wait. Pause. Let me go back. These Laker fans said they were not down by 30. Okay. Yeah, all right. Not in this game, at least.
That's the thing. Lakers always make it close. But,
all right. My thing about the Celtics all year, ISO heavy offense, which is so ugly to me. It felt like Doc Rivers coaching or Mike D'Antoni coaching sometimes this year or at certain points in the playoffs. ISO heavy offense, nobody's moving, and it doesn't feel like anybody has clear, defined roles. It doesn't feel like they care that much on the defensive end. Like, we got better players defensively. And you got, oh my gosh, I was so annoyed they had Peyton Pritchard in the Miami Heat series playing. I heard we have the best, like, from Marcus Smart, that we believe we have the best three guard defensive lineup or three guard defensive rotation. And him, Malcolm Brogdon, and Derek White. Why the fuck, in a game where we are losing the defensive battle, are you putting Peyton Pritchard in? I get it. Offensively, he might be better, blah, 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 blah. Which, the only person who Peyton Pritchard should be offensively better than of those three is on some nights, Marcus Smart. And that's because he's willing to take dumb shots.
Like, it is so wild to me.
And then Marcus Smart came out, even said at some point, we just had a random offense. Yes, because it's just ISO heavy. You guys don't have a system. And that's been my criticism of the Celtics all year. It's been my criticism of the Celtics to an extent, even last year, where it's like, it felt like there was just nothing to fall back on. Like, it's like similar to the idea of how, and like the reasoning, like the argument that you can have for the 76ers, like let me say the idea first. It's similar to when people were complaining that for some reason, Doc Rivers just was not running pick and roll actions for Joel Embiid with James Harden. However, for that one, there was a literal like way that the Celtics defense was playing in order to like stop that from happening. Especially when they put Rob Williams into the starting lineup, which again, why was that such an issue? Otherwise, anyway, like one of the biggest things that Ime did was making that Rob Williams Horford lineup work. I remember in the beginning of the year, I was not like in agreement of it. I thought Al Horford had probably regressed a little bit too much for you to really be putting that pressure on him to still be able to guard these elite centers at his size and everything. And I was wrong. I will say I was wrong. Like, I was high on Al Horford. Don't get me wrong. But as high as I was, like, as well as he did last year, like, you can argue in the Milwaukee series, you can argue for damn near every series except the first round of the Celtics, Horford was a bigger instrument than Tatum or Brown. You can definitely say that for various games. So it's just very discomforting to me to have to see that same thing. They already extended Mazzulla. Apparently Carmelo Anthony is retiring, and there's another news story on Kyrie, maybe Kyrie to the Lakers. It's crazy because narratives be flipping back and forth of that one. Oh yeah, Kyrie, maybe the Lakers don't even need Kyrie. They shouldn't even get him. Oh yeah, maybe Kyrie and the Lakers should think about, like, every time they lost a game, Kyrie and the Lakers should think about coming together. I'm like, no. Like,
if I'm Kyrie, dog, you do not need that type of energy, pressure, stuff on you, bro. Like, I would try and find like a different team. I'll just try and find a place where I can like flow and be me, bro. Like, I don't know.
My fault. My sister sent me a video about Chloe Bailey saying she's never smoked, and she just, you feel me? I don't know what her point is. I don't remember if there's an argument that we had that had to do with that, but okay. I guess Chloe Bailey never gotten high before. She's told it on a stick, but she never gotten the residuals from it. But I don't know. Now, I made a whole game plan for what they should do against what the Nuggets should do against the Lakers, what the Lakers would do, blah, 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 blah. All right. The Celtics, as Brian Windhorst is actually being quoted as saying right now, as of 28 minutes ago from my recording, the Celtics being so soft led to a significant beatdown by the Heat. Now, this is something that I remember hearing when Funky made his prediction, and he was talking about how the good thing about the Knicks that everybody was talking about was how great their guard defense was. And you could see Jimmy punishing those smaller guards. So, me personally, and I think him as well, was expecting to see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown a majority of times guarding Jimmy Butler. Now, I know they do a lot of switches. I know that maybe Jimmy Butler... Like let me... Because I haven't, to be fair, I wasn't able to watch a lot of Game 3. I had work and everything. I watched a good amount of Game 2, I feel like. But let me... I want to actually key in a little bit. Because I feel like when I... like, and my issue with the NBA nowadays in general is that I feel like they give up a little bit too easy on the switches. Like, I remember when I was watching, I think, part of the Nuggets Game 1, Dennis Schroeder literally looked at his coaching staff and the bench because they kept telling him to go under screens and like or to switch on the actions. And he looked at them after Jamal Murray finally pulled up again and did that. And then after that, they let him start going over the screens, really rushing Jamal Murray. Like, I'm seeing Jaylen Brown guarding Gabe Vincent. Or Max Strus, rather. My fault, not Gabe Vincent. They're not hustling to the ball. Or Horford had a steal. They didn't go do anything. They're settling for shots where you're watching Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum literally get shaded on a double, like with double teams. And this in the first quarter, they were willing to put double teams, like literally. They might even be double team the ball. This is in transition. They double team the ball. Marcus Smart sets a screen, getting Bam off of Jaylen Brown. Bam then follows Marcus Smart. Jimmy shades completely in because for some reason, Jason Tatum is just standing completely, like he's at the logo. You're out of the play at that point. If you're at the logo, you're out of the play. Like, I don't care what anybody says. The only person who should be at the logo when, like, you're literally helping Jimmy Butler be able to double team Jaylen Brown. It just doesn't make any sense. Jaylen Brown isn't making that shot. These are highlights, though. So I'm not going to see the misses that they have. But I'm just seeing that the defensive game plan. I'm seeing Derek White guarding Jimmy Butler. Like, wait. Can I just see all Jimmy Butler points? Celtics game 2. All right, so he has Al Horford on him in a possession. Oh no, that's Bam. He gets the tip in over Jaylen Brown's back. He gets the easy switch from Tatum, and maybe it's Tatum doesn't have good screen navigation because I don't know. Like, he's flat-footed. They're doing a back screen. And Miami's known for doing a lot of back screening actions. Actually, if we bring it all the way back, thinking basketball, Celtics versus Miami 2020. Thinking basketball 2020 playoffs. And maybe it was, I think it was within the Nick Nurse versus Brad Stevens chess mask. And, where I think Nick Nurse was using a lot of back screens.
This, bringing the big out to show the match of the century. That was child's play compared to Brad Stevens and Nick Nurse. It's hard to confidently say if the 2020 Eastern Semifinals was the best tactical back and forth ever between two coaches, but it was certainly the most prominent, where major adjustments imbued the very personality of a number of key games. For instance, the Celtics love to run staggered screens for Kemba Walker up top.
Dog, like, this is what I missed about Brad, bro.
When was the last time you really seen these niggas run staggered screens? When was the last time you seen...
And early in the series, this pet action started to stress Toronto's big men. Serge Ibaka is in a drop here, sagging into the paint, and that gives Kemba a bunch of room to do damage. Nurse tweaked his defense on this, bringing the big out to show and help force the ball out of Kemba's hands. Or he tried to avoid it altogether. Here Kemba is calling for Ibaka's man to screen, but the wrong player screens, so Kemba sends him back to the corner. Then Toronto just pre-switches to avoid Ibaka, but you can run but you can't hide, because a smart veteran like Walker just turns this into an empty side pick and roll with Ibaka, then puts him on skates and it's a layup. So, Nurse thinks that maybe a better idea is to force Kemba away from those screens entirely, and this works here, so... they just put Toronto's big
into... This is my issue with, like, a lot of the coaches to nowadays, because it's like, alright, fuck it, my game plan didn't work today. I guess we'll just try tomorrow. Like, dog, it doesn't feel like a lot of coaches try anymore. Like, the two coaches that I don't blame for being fired is Monty Williams and Nick Nurse. I don't even think they should have fired Monty Williams. They didn't give him a roster that was competent enough to do it. Like, the only thing you can argue for Monty is that he lost the confidence of DeAndre Ayton. And then the only thing you could say about Nick Nurse is that rebuilding team maybe is not the best. Nick Nurse is someone who deserves a championship-level team to be coaching.
To pick and roll 40 feet out, Marc Gasol is trying to show here and slow Kemba down momentarily so everyone can recover, and that works out in this case. This whole cat-and-mouse game peaked at the end of Game 3, when Stevens called for Gasol to be put in that same spread pick and roll, but Toronto uses that pre-switch to put Lowry on Tice, so Boston counters back with Marcus Smart sprinting to set the screen. Gasol frantically rushes at Kemba, who has Marcus Smart for a three, but Gasol stays on Walker, which invites him to try something more, and he breaks free and makes an all-time pass right before the buzzer to put Boston up 3-0 in the series. Well, at least that's what would have happened in a normal series, but this was no normal series. So with a half second remaining, that Ojanobi guy stole the game and off we went.
Half a second meanwhile, left. He hit three from across the
corner. Toronto wanted to attack Kemba Walker, the weakest link in the Celtics defense. This meant bringing him into pick and roll and possibly finding a switch that the Raptors could exploit. And as we saw in last year's finals, switching a small onto a big can also lead to easy offensive rebounding opportunities for Serge Ibaka. One soft spot that Nurse targeted a few times was an empty side pick and roll into Kemba, and easily giving up the switch makes this difficult to defend. Now, the Celtics have a method for protecting a guard like this, perhaps better than any team in the league. Here they go after Walker twice.
And this is what bothers me. Like, the Celtics have one of the best ways of protecting a guard. Mind you, they had IT that they had to protect. Then they had Kyrie, then they had Kemba.
And after Jason Tatum recovers, Toronto resets into spread pick and roll to get that switch that they want, but the second it happens, Kemba calls for a scram, which avoids a mismatch, but in this case gives Pascal Siakam an open shot. And here's a play where Stevens and the Celtics think a move ahead.
I know you guys can't see it. I just want you guys to hear that there is adjustments being made, and mind you, there is adjustments being made game one game after the next game, and this was a seven game series.
Lingy for more detail.
This is a 6-game series, and I just don't see any of this like being represented. And there's so much onus. Like, people want to say, "Oh, you can't blame the coach for everything." You're right. But I'm going to blame the coach for what the fuck they're supposed to be doing on the damn floor. All right? Because if there is no difference between how you're setting up your offense, your game planning, what you're doing, then I don't
see... short roll passing in those spots from Daniel Tice.
In fact, I think the one that they're talking about...
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown.
That was when Miami was using the... Let me see. Is this
$1 a month. That's the special offer I have for you. As everyone else was preoccupied with Miami's cutting that we examined last week.
He's talking about Miami's cutting. This is what I was trying to allude to. Thinking basketball, 2020 finals, Miami. I want to really talk about like the Miami Heat, but I can't. All right, found it. Borrowing from the Warriors, unlocked Miami.
$1. And Bam Adebayo keeps growing, but there's more to this offense than a stat sheet suggests. We don't have a large enough sample on this new and improved Heat attack to know just how effective it really is. But what we do know is that Miami has a group of elite shooters and a handful of excellent cutters.
Mind you, the shooters here in this year, the elite ones that people were talking about was really just Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. They had some other good ones off the bench this year, like or solid 3-and-D wings. Like, dang, how am I forgetting? He got traded from the Suns to the Milwaukee Bucks. Side note, why do people keep saying, is it not Crawford? Gosh. I don't know why people kept saying it, but people keep mentioning, like, him as part of the depth that they traded away for the Suns. And I'm like, nah, he wasn't going to play for the Suns.
And that combination generates more than the sum of its parts. Despite encountering elite defenses like Milwaukee and Boston, Miami posted the fourth best offensive efficiency in the playoffs through the conference finals. And while they lack the transcendent firepower of, say, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, their offense does remind cuts with Steph and Klay, where their shooting threat meant teams had to cover dives to the basket and worry about sprints to the three-point line. Miami uses their South Beach Splash Brothers, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, in a similar way, playing off each other to strain the defense because they are both elite shooters. They can also just have one of them cause havoc. Here, Robinson's threat to go over is Velcro to Hero, so Kendrick Nunn goes from feathering passes to these cutters. The Heat.
But either way, the Heat are actually willing to do multiple things, and they have multiple things to do. But to defend against a back screen, I don't know. It's just, you could argue that could be a moving because right after Jimmy Butler makes the move, like you could still see Bam's legs moving. But I don't know. It's just bad defensive positioning. Like, I don't know why you're letting them do that. I don't know, man. The Celtics disappointed me, and it happened in the exact way that, like, I've been having issues with them this entire year. Jimmy Butler has been bullying small guards this entire fucking playoff run. And for some reason, y'all giving him that. And then the other, Grant Williams, like, I feel like they gave him playing time just so he could defend Jimmy Butler. And I didn't understand that because I'm like, why would you think, like, I feel like Grant Williams is too slow for that. I'm sorry. Because it's not like Jimmy Butler is playing purely with strength and girth, all right? I need Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown to be defending him. I can't keep seeing Jaylen Brown guarding anybody else but Jimmy Butler. I'm just watching him being at the top of the key. I need these guys to put their pants on. I need them to want to play. You can't force people to do that. But that's how the Celtics, everybody's saying it. The Celtics don't feel like they want to play. Maybe that's just it. But it still fucked the Lakers, though. All right. All right. All right. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you think I wouldn't? No, this is Big Yoke. All right. Respect yourself. This is Big Yoke territory. Even if I got one side of my prediction wrong, the main thing was that the Lakers couldn't make it. All right. Yeah.
Right foot up there, and on it,
man. Man, nigga, man. LeBron not winning another ring. Y'all can't. All right. Y'all are going to use this to push the narrative. Now you can't. All right. I don't want to hear none of this nonsense anymore. It's done. It's over. All right. Y'all going to have to use the other joints. Because if y'all try and tell me making it to the Western Conference Finals matters, I'm going to smack your dumb ass, bro. All right. Because I'm going to say this. Just like the bubble year, I'm going to argue they had the weakest route to get to the finals. I'm going to argue that. All right. Now, you can argue with your mothers,
about whether or not you believe that's true. I'm not, and I'm not devaluing. Like, they made one a champion, they did it, whatever. However, y'all freaking LeBron meat riders and whatever. Y'all just be saying shit, dog. Like, y'all be like, oh yeah, now LeBron's in the West and he running. Nigga, he's easily the best. Like, literally that year when they won, it was either them or the Clippers. Nobody really believed in anybody else. Charles Barkley saying that the Portland Trail Blazers might win. Nobody, but no one cares about that, man. All right, no, like, this nigga be making guarantees a lot. I think the only one he gonna get right is this Nuggets one. But besides that, like, the Houston Rockets versus the Lakers. No one was really saying that the Houston Rockets are gonna beat you. Everybody said the Rockets had a puncher's chance. Like, y'all be talking about, oh yeah, Jordan didn't have to go through a lot for his competition and whatnot. I'm like, dog, y'all niggas be looking at LeBron competition, and when he stacked the deck, you think it really that bad? His only competition really being the finals, for real. I'm not jacking a DeMar DeRozan that says they got LeBron. What did you want me to do? I'm not jacking that, man. I'm not jacking it. See what Toronto did when they got a real killer. I'm just saying. Now, I'm gonna end this run a little bit early. I wanted to talk about, like, some other stuff, like the AI girlfriends and the whatnots, but I think I'm a little bit tired, man. I'm a little bit disturbed. Not disturbed. Let nigga breathe. All right. Thank you for watching the Just Talking podcast. I didn't even ask y'all in the beginning, so I'll ask you now. Before we leave, how are you? You doing good? You better. Don't forget to drink water. Stay in school, kids. And, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, big yolk. Big yolk. It's big yolk. Big yolk. Big yolk.
That was the Just Talking podcast.